but Wyatt wasn't here because he was attracted to her. And she hadn't let him stay because she was interested in him, she reminded herself. He was just here for his daughter. "Who taught you how to cook?" Wyatt asked, interrupting her thoughts. "I taught myself. I had a little more help later on." "You said you spent time on the streets. What happened to your parents?" "My mom got cancer when I was about 6. She was sick for a long time. I started cooking for her," she said, drying her hands on a towel as she turned around. She leaned against the counter. She couldn't eat much when she was going for chemo, so I learned how to make soup. It was all that she could keep down. I remember feeling so good when she could eat the whole bowl. Most food just made her nauseous. It sounds like a big responsibility for a little girl," he said, compassion in his eyes. "I guess it was. I didn't know any differently. She was a great mom, but we were all alone and we didn't have any money. That situation got worse the sicker she became. She couldn't work anymore and she didn't have any insurance." "What about your father?" "He wasn't around. He took off when I was 3. I don't remember him." She paused. "From soup, I graduated to breakfast food." She felt a pang in her heart at the memory. "My mom loved pancakes for dinner, and so did I. So we ate breakfast at night. It was fun. Sometimes we ate by candlelight."
"Because the electricity was turned off?"
"Yes. I didn't know that at the time. Mom made it sound like an adventure. She created a world of make-believe and wrapped me up in it as best she could. But then she got worse. And one day a policeman came with a social worker, and they took me away from her." She had to bite down on her lip to keep back the pain of that memory. "The cop grabbed my arm so hard he left a bruise. He had to drag me out of the house. I didn't want to leave her. They said she was going to the hospital, but I never knew if that happened. The next day, the social worker told me she died, and I never got to see her again." Wyatt shoved back his chair and stood up. He walked over to her, putting a kind hand on her shoulder. "I'm sorry." His touch warmed and comforted her in a way that surprised her. In fact, the whole conversation surprised her. She rarely told anyone about her past. "It was a long time ago."
"No wonder you don't like cops.
But you have to know somewhere in your head that those adults were worried about you." "That wasn't the bad experience I was talking about." She stepped out from under his touch, feeling like she needed to move away before she started to like it too much. She'd been living in a cold, gray, emotionless world since Will had died, and she wasn't quite ready to jump back into life.
"So you went into foster care after your mother died," Wyatt continued.
"Yes, the next couple of years were bad. I ended up in some rough homes, ran away a couple times. Everything changed one night when I went scrounging for food at a diner called Joe's."
"I know that place. It's run by that cranky old woman who keeps a baseball bat behind the counter."
"Josephine Cooper," she said with a smile. "The restaurant was named after her husband, Joe. She is a mean bitch when she wants to be, but she gave me a job bussing tables when I was 15, and she let me stay with her when I didn't have anywhere else to go. She saved my life."
"You don't get the kind of food I just tasted at Joe's," he said dryly.
"Well, I learned a few more things after I left there." He let out a sigh. "I think I understand why you didn't tell anyone about the kids." "I knew where they were coming from. I wanted to help them the way Josephine helped me. I was trying to gain their trust. But I feel badly now that I didn't go back to the restaurant after the robbery. I didn't think about their welfare, and I should have. I was too caught up in my own trauma.